Good word. We're going to look at this next portion of Ruth, where when we left Ruth, she had finished eating at the table of Boaz, and she had been fully satisfied. And when she got up from that table to glean, Boaz gave a command to his young men that said, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." And so we find here that he says, "Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her." I like that. Carolyn made a comment on that, handfuls of purpose. I've written in my Bible, by handfuls, those are small blessings. Let fall some small blessings on purpose for her, of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So you have two different groups of blessings there set aside for Ruth. You have in verse 15 the sheaves, and the sheaves are specific portions of grain that were tied together and bundled up together, and she's allowed to go ahead and gather those up. And I told you that I think those sheaves, which speak of grain bundled up together, kind of speak of specific portions of the word that are bound together, specific truths that are bound together, whether they be sheaves of doctrine or sheaves of promises or sheaves of ordinances or sheaves, you know, of messianic promises of his coming. Those are specific, substantial bundles. And then along with those, there were these little small handfuls that of kind of choice portions that he would let fall for her, small blessings. And sometimes that's all we can take in at a time, is a little handful at a time. But she's going to gather all this up and take this home. So we find that's where we left off Ruth. She's got up to glean, and in the meantime, Boaz has made this provision for her that she's not even aware of. So verse 17, I call her labor, and in verse 18, I call it her fruit. So you have her labor in verse 17 and her fruit in verse 18. And so in verse 17, remember, we left her, she had risen up to glean, and we find that you come to verse 17, and that's what she's doing. Verse 17 says, so she gleaned. She rose up to glean, and so she gleaned in the field until when? Evening. And she beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So what did Ruth continue to do after her meal? She continued to glean. She continued to labor. And of course, glean, if you look up the word glean, it just means to gather, literally, or to pick up. Now, you got to think about that. You're stooping over, and you're picking up, and you're gathering. And I sometimes wonder, as I mentioned last week or the week before, maybe she had a bag with her that they used to carry when they'd pick cotton, and you'd drag it along with you, and you'd put in what you had gathered in that bag and then drag it along with you until it was filled up. You wonder if maybe that's how she did it. Because she'd pick up a portion, what would she do with it? You know, you'd have to store it someplace, because that's her portion. She wants to make sure nobody else gets it. So she's stooping, and she's picking up, and she's gathering, she's laboring, and she's going on to glean, totally unaware of this extra provision that Boaz has made for her in verses 15 and 16. She has no idea that, you know, he's made this promise and provision, that he's looking out for her, and she just doesn't realize it. What struck me is the meal that she ate, I think, aided and added to her desire to serve. She got up from that meal, she was ready to go to work. She was energized. She was ready to serve. And as I told you last week, I think her focus on her service changed. I think when she started out the day, that service was, I need to glean for me and for Naomi. And she sat at that table with Boaz, and by the time she got up from that table of fellowship, she said, I need to glean for Boaz.
In what respect would she be gleaning for him? Because she's not gathering it for him.
No, but in the light of I am his handmaiden. I'm doing it for him. I'm his handmaiden now. When she entered that field, she didn't belong to him. When she sat down at that table, she had accepted his proposal to be his handmaiden and his servant, so she's in his service. So now she's, in a sense, serving him, not just herself. And sometimes you just get a different perspective, and it makes the service appear different to you. It takes on a greater importance. It's not just so I can have a meal by the end of the day. It's so that, as Boaz said, or as Boaz's servant said to him, his servant said to him, the Lord bless thee. You know, the Lord prosper you. The Lord make this abundant field of harvest to be one that will be a blessing to you. And she enters into that same attitude that they have. And so we find here that she got up from that meal and she had this renewed desire to serve. And this is how she began the day, and this is how she continues the day. There's this consistency in her life and in her walk. She started out gleaning, and she didn't quit. She kept on gleaning. I thought of that scripture that the Apostle Paul gives us in Galatians 6, 9, where he says, and be not what in well-doing? Be not weary in well-doing. You know, that scripture says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And see, Ruth was not weary in well-doing. And in due season, which is going to be actually at the end of that day, she's going to reap quite a bit because she hasn't fainted. The Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians the very same thing in 2 Thessalonians 3:13. He says, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. That's twice that Paul says that in his epistles, in Galatians 6:9 and 2 Thessalonians 3:13. And you get the idea that that's something that can happen to every one of us in the service of the Lord, in whatever it is that he has set our hands to do. Sometimes we can just get a weary of it. She hasn't seen any real substantial reward yet, and she won't until she beats everything out at the end of the day. The other thing that I thought of when we find her going back to do what she started out to do, I thought of that study that we had with Brother Carson Richards when he was talking about the parables and Jesus' words to the servant where he says, well done thou, what? Good and faithful servant. And Ruth here is a good and faithful servant. And there is a well done here that will be given to her at the end of the day. And so we find this testimony that she has. She started out one way and she kept on. She started out gleaning and she continued to glean. She didn't give up. And she continued how long? Till evening. You want to bet she was out there when the sun rose? She was out there early in the day? And so she continued gleaning until evening, which is what even is. It means till evening or until dusk. She kept on gleaning until the sun was set. You get the idea that she, in one sense, she felt an urgency. Well, I need to use the daylight as best that I can. I mean, as long as there's daylight, there'll be grains and stalks and bundles that I can gather up, and I want to use every opportunity. She wanted to labor while she could. And you kind of see that urgency, if you turn over to John chapter 9, that Jesus had in the light of his ministry, that I think we should carry over to our own lives, in our own ministries and whatever ways the Lord allows us to minister. And in John chapter 9, Jesus says this, and it's a scripture that we're all familiar with. But I think Ruth probably felt this. Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is what?
Day.
The night cometh when no man can work. You know, Jesus felt that urgency to do the work that God had given him to do. And he knew that there was a limited amount of time. And when you look at our lives, we don't know how much time that we have. We have an urgency that's, in a sense, placed upon us by the Spirit of God and the Lord to use every opportunity that we have. Ruth continued to labor because, on one sense, she felt an urgency, and on another sense, because she just wanted more. She continued to pick up as much grain as she could because she wanted more. And because she wanted more, did she receive more? Yes. And there's one area of our life. If we want more from the Word of God, we'll receive more from the Word of God. You see, also in this, she used every moment, she used every opportunity to gather that grain, and she didn't waste her opportunities. She did what the Apostle Paul tells the Ephesians in Ephesians 5:16, when he says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. She redeemed the time. She used every opportunity she had and didn't waste a moment. And you think about how easy it is to waste time in our lives. It's so easy. The world has so much that they can throw our way to distract us, and before you know it, we haven't spent time in Bible study or time in prayer, or, you know, we've just wasted, frittered away our time. Now, there are things that we need to do in this world, but the Lord wants a balance. Matthew Henry said, here, Ruth finishes her day's work. She took care not to lose time, for she gleaned until the evening. She did not make an excuse to sit still or go home until the evening. I mean, she could have. I bet there were some people that thought, I'm tired, I'm going home. She didn't go home till the sun wasn't shining anymore. She scarcely used, much less did she abuse, the kindness of Boaz. She scarcely used it, and she certainly didn't abuse it, the kindness of Boaz. She didn't take advantage of him. Though he ordered his servants to leave handfuls for her, she continued to glean the scattered ears. I mean, she went everywhere she could to find what she could. She didn't just take the easy way. She used her eyes and she looked for everything. And I just thought about that. The more we labor for the Lord, the more we receive from the Lord. There is a reward for that labor. Now, that's the first part of her labor. This verse is all about her labor. The first part of her labor is she gleaned in the field until evening. The second part of her labor is additional labor. She beat out that which she had gleaned. Is that not labor of another kind? And to beat literally means to knock off the grain from the stalks. It means to thresh. That's another, she threshed it. It says here, she beat out that she had gleaned. That's the word thresh. That's what it means. And one of the commentators said what they would do is they would take that grain and bring it to a hard surface, and a lot of times they would have a threshing floor set up there in the field. And they would take a stick or they would take a rock. I used to think they would just, you know, shake it and beat it out. But they said they would take a stick or a rock to beat the stalks to separate the grain from the chaff. So, you know, that takes a little bit of labor. So, you know, she took a stick or a rock and she beat it on that threshing floor. And she had a lot of grain that she had gathered, so that's additional labor that she had. It shows us that her labor wasn't finished yet. she's going to knock off the husks and all those parts of the stalks that, that can't be used. And she needed to do this, in one sense, to be able to see the fullness of the blessing. And she'll take home then the very best. She'll take home only that which she can use. She's not going to take home anything unnecessary. She's not going to waste her time carrying stuff home that she can't use. I thought about this. Ruth, in a sense, is taking home the finest of the wheat, which is what the Lord has promised us. Sometimes when I look at that scripture, and it says that twice in the Psalms. It says that in Psalm 81 and Psalm 147. It talks about the finest of the wheat. I used to think about that in the light of the Lord just gives us the finest of the wheat. But here, in a sense, the finest of the wheat, that which has been threshed, comes from our labors, comes from our gathering, comes from our gleaning, comes from the time that we spend with that which we have gathered, and taking it apart and picking out the portions that are really good. We, in a sense, also pick out the finest of the wheat. The Lord has it there for us, but he wants us to go dig for it and work for it. Now, if you do the Ruth questions, they're going to ask you a question that I think is a really good question. And the question is, what is this gleaning and beating out that Ruth is doing here a picture of? And it is a picture of our daily reading and meditating on the Word of God. This is really what she's doing here. It pictures, in a sense, a full appropriation and a full appreciation of the Word of God. And it pictures, and I picked one, two, three, four scriptures to kind of go along with this. Because if we are like Ruth, and that grain is like the Word of God, and you have stalks here and stalks there and handfuls and bundles here, and all of a sudden you're left with this big pile, you can't do anything with it until you thresh it out. And you can't begin to appropriate it or appreciate it until you find out exactly what you have. And so this is a little bit like what the Bereans did when they searched the Word of God. And over in Acts 17 and verse 11, it says that when they received the Word of God, one thing is that they received it with a readiness of mind. And the other thing that they did when they received the Word of God, heard it, is they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. So part of this gleaning and beating out, threshing that Ruth does here is a reading and meditating on the Word of God, but it comes down to searching the Word of God. You can read through the Bible in a year and skim through the Scriptures, and then again you can find one particular Scripture like we heard in the testimony for Brother Jack from Joshua. That must have been a scripture that he gleaned, that he had personally appropriated, that he had meditated on, that was hidden in his heart.
That was something that she thought of, Joy, but said her dad quoted it along with her.
Okay.
But he knew it.
Yeah. And she knew it. And so you find here that that comes from beating out those stalks. It's hidden in your heart. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Well, that's what she's doing here. And that's what we do every time we not only just read the word, but we let the Holy Spirit lead us to a scripture, and it just leaps off the page and leaps into our heart and stays with us all day. The other scripture I thought of was a scripture that, and these are scriptures we're all familiar with, but I thought these are really good scriptures to show what that gleaning and that beating out of the word is. And the first is search the scriptures daily. The second is from 2 Timothy 2:15, which is study to what?
Show thyself
approved. A workman, there it is, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling the word of truth. And so here we find, in a sense, for our lives, that studying the word of God. And who is it that's doing it? A workman. And studying the word of God is a little bit like threshing. It's labor. It takes time. It takes a portion of our day or a portion of our time set aside where we can ask the Lord to let the Spirit show that word to us, reveal it to us, make it real to our hearts, and study it. And what it does is it enables us to be a better workman. In Ruth's case, she will have threshed that grain and have enough to take home to eat for the next day. And so she's better able to work in the field the next day because she's fed on what she has gathered the day before. And so what we feed on from the Word of God enables us to go forward the next day in our spiritual life and our spiritual battles. So there is that searching of the Word that is a picture of that gleaning and beating out of the grain, and there is that studying of the Word. And then I thought about what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:8. And here you kind of find, I picked this scripture because you can look at all these adjectives that he uses to describe in Philippians 4:8 portions of the Word of God. And picture in your mind all these different descriptions as different stalks of grain, little bundles or little portions. In the light of our study in Ruth. And here again, what Paul asks these saints to do in Philippians 4:8, in a sense, is to beat out or to thresh and look for these things. And I know we studied this scripture when we were in Philippians, and Paul says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, there's a little kernel, a little stalk, whatsoever things are honest, oh, there's another one. And whatsoever things are just, and there's another. And whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. There's that meditating and studying of the Word of God. And as Ruth beats out those portions of stalks and gets rid of the old dry husks and lets the grain fall to the ground, she'll find things that are true and things that are honest and things that are just and things that are pure and things that are lovely. And that's what happens to us when we meditate on the Word of God. We think on these things, and we find as we think on them wonderful jewels, wonderful nuggets, wonderful treasures. And finally, one of the things that we do when we do what Ruth does here in type is, Paul says, prove all things. Put it to the test. And then hold fast to that which is good. He tells us that in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. So Ruth is going to prove all things. She's going to only take what's good and leave what she can't use, and she's going to hold fast to that which she has labored for, and she's not going to let go of it. And so I like that question that the Bible school gives. This is a picture of those who daily read and meditate on the Word of God. It's a wonderful picture of somebody can't force feed you the Word of God and you really benefit from it as much as when you go in and you feed yourself. Or you go home after a lesson and you think about it and you meditate on it and you come up with some things that you see in another light or a deeper light. So how much did Ruth glean? About an ephah of barley. Now, I looked that up. An ephah is a measurement used for grain. And I looked it up in several different places, and I came up with three different measurements. Just depends on who's doing the measuring. An ephah could be 2/3 of a bushel, or 3/4 of a bushel, or 1 bushel. That's quite a bit.
Yeah.
A bushel is quite a bit. My Bible here says it had 3/4 of a bushel in the Ryrie Bible.
-1.1.
Yeah, so it varies. It's a dry measurement for grain. So if you took from 2/3 to a bushel, that range, that would weigh from between 30 to 52 pounds.
Well, even just using bushel as a measurement, you're not talking a quart. If you're, you know, you're talking
a bushel,
amount.
A substantial.
It's not a full, if it's a half a bushel, it's still a lot.
It's still.
Like a lot of flour and a lot of loaves of bread.
Yeah, really, that's a lot of grain. This is going to be enough to feed her and Naomi for quite a while. My Ryrie Bible says that would be about 3/4 of a bushel, and that would be enough to feed her for 10 days. At least, so whether it was 2/3 or 3/4 or a bushel, depending on how you look at it, you just see here that there were some results from her labor, substantial results. And the scripture that I thought of in connection with that is over in Ephesians 3:20. Because as soon as I read what that amount would be, I thought, oh my goodness. Can you imagine what Ruth must have felt like at the end of her time of beating out that grain, and when she looked down and she saw what she had? I think that this scripture comes into play, and this is what we see sometimes when we look at what it is that the Lord has shown us concerning himself and his blessings. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." I think, you know, she thought, oh my goodness, God has done exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I mean, she labored in the service of her master. And she labored for him and not just for herself. And she labored under that anointing that the Lord gave her. But I just thought about that. There was this praise that would come forth from her lips as she looked out at all that she had beaten out and saw such a substantial amount. Matthew Henry said, "Ruth gathered it stalk by stalk." I've never beaten out grain before. I'm sure. Never have. I mean, I've seen stalks of wheat, you know, growing up. We used to have stalks of wheat, and you can see that, and those kernels are on there pretty tight.
Combine beat it out today.
Yeah.
Yeah, machines do it today.
I'm sure there's plenty of parts of the world where this still does.
I guess I used to have a picture of people just taking a long stalk and just beating it on the ground.
Yeah. It seems like I have something like a flat paddle sort of thing.
Yeah.
Against the grain. You know, it might have been woven like bamboo or something, and then woven with, so it was not real heavy, but.
Yeah.
Right. But enough that it would jar those kernels loose.
Yeah.
So Matthew Henry says, she gathered it stalk by stalk. But when she had put it all together, it was an ephah of barley. Many a little makes a great deal. You know, probably when she was putting it together, gathering it a little at a time, she thought, you know, I've just got a little handful here, and a little handful here, and a little portion here, and all she's is seeing are the little portions that she's gathering up. But when she finally puts it all together, all those little teeny portions make a large portion. So it's an encouragement to all that labor that in gleaning, that there will be a profit. There will be a larger portion coming from those little gatherings that we do. It makes it worth all the while. And then another commentator said, Ruth's half a bushel of grain was the first fruits of all that Boaz would do in the future. This is the first fruits. You know, and the first fruits come from those promises in verses 16 and 17. Let her glean among the sheaves, and don't reproach her, and leave handfuls of purpose for her, and don't rebuke her. You know, that's a promise. It gives her a glimpse of something more substantial that's going to come later on. So this half a bushel or three quarters of a bushel or however much it was a first fruit, the first fruits of something that was going to come later on. And when you look at the time that we spend in the Word gleaning those treasures and those nuggets that show us the promises of the Lord and give us a greater revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it does give us a picture of and a glimpse into what's in store for us. We get a taste of it. It's a taste, but we haven't really seen the full reality of it yet. And so that's the first fruits of what he would do in the future. He says, just as the Holy Spirit within us is the first fruits of all that God has promised. You know, he's our first fruits. And he kind of shows us and points us in the right direction to all the other blessings that are set before us. Although Ruth's supply of grain would be gone in a week, the witness of the Spirit within will remain until our hopes are fulfilled when we see Jesus. And I thought that's really good. Brought out four important points that I thought were really good in gleaning that we can carry over in our spiritual life. He says, first of all, Ruth was a gleaner, and so should we be. You know, number one, the Bible is a field. Search the Scriptures, glean there, pick up every grain, for it contains precious nourishment. No matter how many gleaners, there's food enough for all. Isn't that good? So the first thing that we find in reference to our lives like Ruth is we should all be gleaners. And we've got a field right before us here in the Word of God. The Bible is that field. Search those Scriptures. Meditate on the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Prove the Word of God. Examine it and think on these things. And the more you think on it, the more you'll see all those wonderful little nuggets. The second thing that he says is, alas, how many careless ones there are who never glean at all. They loiter all the day of their life idle. And so when night comes, they sink into eternity with nothing done. You know, Ruth didn't waste any time. And I'm sure maybe there were gleaners that after lunch, after that big meal at noon or midday, they went home, said, I've worked enough for today. But she went on. She knew that night was coming. Number three, others again begin when Ruth leaves off at evening. So he uses two different groups here. He says, number one, you have one group that never gleaned at all. And then you have another group that they don't start until Ruth finishes. Well, there's not much time left to do anything. What others again begin when Ruth leaves off at evening. All the bright, sunny portion of their lives they give to the world. And then they just use the latter part of their life to give a little bit to the Lord. And so he's talking about the daytime being the early years of your life. Spend that gleaning, and the evening, the latter years of your life. And Ruth does it all the way through. And so he says some people never glean at all, and some people wait until their life's almost over, and then they decide to spend some time and give the Lord some of their devotion. And then the fourth thing that he said is Ruth began gleaning in the morning. She felt that every hour must be employed, that every moment was precious, and she labored diligently. May we make God's word our daily study. So there's this diligent laboring, not just for that day, but I'll guarantee you she went back the next day and the next day and the next day. And you know, we start out with such good intentions. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to read my Bible. going to study the Word of God, and we do it for the first day or the second day, and then all of a sudden other things catch our attention, and we've kind of left off. We've lost that motivation. But she did it in the morning, and she did it after her midday meal, and she did it until the evening. She got up the next morning, and she did it again. She labored diligently. And so he says, make the Word of God your daily study. And so you have a wonderful picture here of Ruth gleaning in the field until evening, work, beating it out, work, and finding that wonderful abundance that was left, an ephah of barley, that she's going to be able to take home to Naomi. Praise the Lord.